The hour has grown late and shadows lurk around every corner. The sleek swirl of dark feathers announce the passing of the raven as it flies like a shot due north, as if being called by a soundless beacon or an unheard voice. What unknown mystical secrets might this mysterious creature know? What wizened malcontent claims it as a familiar? And how sure are we that it is in fact a raven after all, and not a crow, fighting to stay clear of Farmer McFarmer's blue ribbon cornfields, where that lone tattered scarecrow towers above the golden ears at a grotesque angle? There! Didn't it have its hand raised in greeting before? Surely it did. How long can one stare at a scarecrow swaying in the wind, trying to convince oneself it is not moving? It didn't just twitch. That tingle running down your spine can mean only one thing, loyal listeners. It is time once again to turn down the lights and turn up the terror, as you fly head on into the dreamy whispers of Frightmare Theater. And here in the studio to introduce tonight's terrifying tale is your hauntingly horrendous, heinous host, Dr. Necropolis.
Yes, welcome, all my little ghoulies and ghastlies, to the nightmare factory that makes your darkest dreams come true. And thank you for that gracious introduction, announcer. Quite kind. Kind and colorfully descriptive. I typically announce myself, you know. You aren't trying to edge in on my game again, are you? Announcer? Announcer? Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, yes, there you are. Now, we're friends, right? Partners, in a way. Yes? We can talk, can't we?
Oh, absolutely.
You just have an honest conversation, right?
Yes. I am capable of such a thing.
It's just the intro, outros that you do. You do such a good job with that.
Why, thank you.
Utter perfection. And it would be such a shame to waste that beautiful perfection by you trying something, anything else, really. Like the colorful episode introductions that I do.
Well, if you were upset, you only had to say so.
Upset? What? Who said anything about anyone being upset?
You know, as the announcer, I am beyond the threshold of emotion. My essence is enshrined within the dark afterlight of existence.
Mm-hmm. That was under special skills on your resume.
But despite the soulless entity I have become, every now and then I find I do like to have some light fun.
Well, that's completely understandable.
For instance, I often like to make fun of your repulsive appearance.
What?
Oh, have I upset you?
I am not upset. I'm offended.
Ah. I'm lost. I must not understand the simple-mindedness of your...
Finally, we agree on something. You are stupid.
That was not what I...
Speaking of clueless, stupid, dummy dum-dums, I'm reminded of our spine-tingling story this evening.
You understand my joke is contingent upon the supposition that you are indeed considered, in general terms, hideous and ugly in your decaying appearance.
Yes, yes. Why don't we further discuss the finer details on your, joke? Well, all you boys and ghouls enjoy tonight's spooky story that comes to you straight from the drain.
Why are you laughing? I don't get it.
Ugh. Al, roll the story.
What did I say?
Thank you. It won't stop. Yes. It keeps calling me. It's louder now, much louder. What? What? No, no, I told you I won't do that. I can't do that. Haven't you had enough? I can't take much more. It all started the other night while we were in bed. It's the first time I heard it.
Turn off the TV. I was trying to sleep. Barry, come on. I'm trying to sleep. Would you please turn off the TV?
TV's off, Artie. It's probably the dog. We'll see if he's at the door. You might need to go out.
Probably. No.
Monty! Monty? Hey, buddy, are you in the basement? What are you doing down there? Come on, let's go outside!
If only I'd known then what I know now, Monty would still be alive.
Monty! Buddy, it's me! Are you hurt?
His eyes glowed and his mouth was foaming. He was standing over the drain at the center of the basement.
Come on, boy, it's okay. It's me.
Artie, what's going on?
No, Mary, stay up there.
But what happened? Where's Monty?
Mary, just stay there. Don't come down here.
What's wrong with Monty?
He left me. I knocked me into the workbench. I had to, Mary. You didn't see him. He was crazed. I don't know what happened.
We didn't speak to each other the next morning. I took the day off to take care of Monty. I grabbed a trash bag from our kitchen and went back down to collect the body. Mary's right. It's all my fault. Hello? Hello, Mary? Mary, honey, are you home?
Yes?
My name. I heard my name. Called from far off. No one was there. I was alone in our backyard.
Is someone there?
Damn it.
Morning, Arthur. How are we all doing on this fine morning? I see you've taken a personal day to tend to some yard work. The lawn was getting a little out of hand, don't you think?
No, Walter. Monty died last night.
Arthur, no. How did it happen? If you don't mind me asking, he seemed pretty healthy to me.
Walter was that neighbor who always had tabs on the local gossip. He knew when someone was up late with the lights on, when to stop by on a stroll just as a muffled fight broke out behind closed doors, and who was behind on their mortgages. It was his business to be in everyone else's business. Now he was all too eager to hear me talk about what happened with Monty.
I'm not really sure, Walter, but I just want to be alone now.
Of course. I understand, and we'll leave you to it. My deepest condolences to you and your lovely wife.
Yes, Walter, what?
Pardon?
You just called my name?
Me? No, I was going back to the house.
I thought... It must have just been my imagination.
Isn't it funny the way the mind works when it's in grief? Anyways, do let me know if you need anything. I'm always around.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes?
I'm fine, Walter. I just need to be by myself.
If you insist.
When I went back inside, the house felt terribly empty. No Monty curled on the couch or walking along the hardwood floors with his nails clicking against it. I hated to think it at that moment, but I wondered if Walter might have been right. I shrugged it off and grabbed some cleaning supplies. The sweet old penny smell of the blood hung in the air. The sponge soaked up what it could, but there was still a discolored stain on the floor. I scrubbed from my workbench to the grating of the old drain at the center of the basement. What the hell is that? The drain in our basement floor had bested countless storms in the 8 years we'd owned the house. Never clogged once. The grate itself had never even lost its shine, as if it were still brand new. The shape, rather than the traditional circle, was a rectangle, more like a pool filter than a drain. I reached down into the drain. I leaned in all the way to my shoulder, but still couldn't find anything. Something had to be down there making the hushed noises. I shoved as much of my head into the drain as I could in order to get a little extra length, doing my best not to get stuck. Ah! A gash ran across my palm, blood falling down into the opening. Mother! Hello? Who's there? Okay. Oh, time to go to the doctor, Art. It's been a damn awful day and you need to process it. Yeah, let's just take tomorrow off as well. It recounted my life to me. My mother and father, my wife. How I founded the outreach program to help the homeless. How my mother died. And how lonely my father was sitting in his nursing home. It knew every part of me, my life. Every good deed and darkest secret known only to me. Stop! Just stop! What do you want? Blood? I don't understand. I didn't return to the basement the rest of the day. When Mary got home from work, I met her in the driveway. She thanked me for taking care of everything. That night, we made dinner and ate without making much eye contact. The next morning, I got ready in a rush and left the house as soon as I could. I needed to keep busy. If I slowed down, I was afraid my mind would return to the drain in the basement. And that terrible voice. It kept creeping back in as if someone was putting it there. I drove straight to my outreach center, parked off the street, and walked up.
Morning, Art. Everything okay? Hurt your hand?
No, it's fine, Mark. How did everything go while I was out?
Well, we had another incident with Bill last night.
What now?
Beth caught him trying to break his way into the women's dorms.
Jesus, is she all right? Did he hurt her?
She's okay. A little rattled. Tony and I were radioed over. A few punches were thrown, but we both got him restrained and marched him out. He stood outside hollering some more, but Tony went out and started dialing 911. That got him moving. I know you don't want to turn people away, Art, but I'd say we've done just about all we can for Bill.
You're right. If he comes back, call the police. Let him know we mean business.
I'll spread the word to the rest of the crew. I gave Tony the day off. Bill busted his lip pretty bad. Oh,
thanks for everything, Mark. Let me know if you need anything.
My office at the facility was small, but it was a perfect place I could have to myself when I needed to be alone.
Shit!
I still couldn't escape the basement, even after leaving my house. My mind was cloudy and felt crowded, as if I was drunk. The gash on my hand pulsed. It doesn't exist. Shut up!
Is this a bad time, Mr. Penrell? I was just going to tell you that I was heading out and Sandra was taking my place.
No, Beth, I'm so sorry. I was just, I've got a lot on my mind right now. Of course, yes, go home. You've done so much today already.
Yeah, thanks. There's a large bottle of wine waiting with my name on it. I don't give shit one what time it is. I have turned.
Have a glass for me.
Oh, I will make yours a double. Are you okay? You look awfully pale and you've sweat through that shirt. There's a nasty bug going around. Maybe you should go home too.
Yeah. It was stupid of me to even come in. I really don't feel myself today. I headed back to the car, not knowing where I was going to go. I didn't want to think about home, the basement, what was down there in the dark, calling to me.
Shut up. That asshole you got running this joint said I couldn't go in and get my breakfast. You think you can kick me out? You think there won't be consequences, Mr. Man?
Bill, just calm down. Let's talk about...
I said shut the hell up! Get in your car. We're going for a ride. I need to eat. That is, unless you want to just believe.
I can't do that, Bill.
You just tell me no! I'm hungry, and you're gonna get in the car!
All right, Bill. All right.
That's good, Mr. Man.
Where do you want to go?
I've been denied hot breakfast. So, I think that you are going to take me to get some.
Wherever you want to go, Bill, just put the gun away.
I hear that the best breakfast is a home-cooked one. Why don't you cook one for me?
I can't do that.
What, you've never cooked breakfast before?
No, it's just...
I get it. I'm not good enough for your house. That it? Maybe we should get out here.
Blood ran down the steering wheel as I squeezed, reopening the wound. My head ached and my mind was fogged over again. I started to relax as an outside force began twisting my thoughts and planting ideas.
Oh.
Maybe.
Maybe what?
As long as Mary isn't in there.
Who are you talking to? Do you need a reminder of who's in charge here?
No. I'll make you breakfast.
Now you're getting, Mr. Man.
When we pulled onto our street, I sobered enough to scan the driveway. She's not here. Good.
What are we waiting for? Let's get inside! Fire up that stove! I'll just take a look around.
Yes. How?
Basement.
Are you really real?
Basement.
You talking to yourself again, Mr. Man? You still haven't started making my eggs.
The basement. I have a safe. Money. Take it.
Now that's hospitality. Lead the way. Where is it?
Towards the back. You can see it once you get closer. Go. Have a look.
I'll see if it's there or not. Out of the way. I don't see any safe. You lying to me?
The sight of it rising from the drain shocked me back to my senses. A hand. No, not a hand. It was... too narrow and long for a hand, and the tips came to points. It was a pale, sickly color, as if it had never seen the sun. It curled its way around Bill's ankle.
What the hell? Ah! Ah! Mr. Man! Mr. Penrell! Help me! What is this? I'm scared!
The hand-like thing began retracting back into the drain with Bill's ankle in tow.
No!
Oh, God, no, Bill! No! Quick, give me your hand! Bill's ankle bent flat against his shin. He reached out for my hand, not for help, but just to grab a hold of something to keep himself from being dragged further into the hole. His knee sank below the surface of the floor, and Bill dug his fingernails into my arm. His leg was all the way in the drain, forcing the other to lay flat. A second hand-like thing came out of the drain. It curled under the thigh and began to pull it upward toward Bill's body. Bill's grip on my arm was a vice cutting off circulation. His leg hung in the air, bobbing upwards and upwards. His leg was snapped up to his torso, but continued to sink into the floor. It was breaking down every bit of Bill necessary to fit him into the drain. No! No! Stop it! Stop! Stop! The microwave read that it was just afternoon, but it felt later, as if years had passed in the basement with Bill.
It was necessary.
Necessary? You murdered Bill!
Why else did you bring him back?
I thought that I don't know.
He only would have caused you more trouble down the road. I know the burden he has been.
How? How could you possibly know?
We've been bonded.
What are you?
Old and hungry.
Arthur?
Walter.
You left your garage door open and I thought I heard shouting. Is everything all right?
Let him in.
I can't. You don't know him, Walter. He'll ask questions. Even if I tell him to leave, he'll just go and ask Mary before she can even get through the door. Mary, she can't know about any of this. Oh, God damn it, Walter.
Answer the door.
Hello, Walter.
Arthur, as I was saying, I noticed that... My God, Arthur, your face... Are you all right?
Invite him inside.
Yes, I'm fine, Walter. I was jumped by someone breaking in, so... this isn't the best time.
No. Bring him in.
Good God, man. Have you called the police? Let me come in.
No, not yet. I was about to. I just want to see things for myself first.
My mind dulled. That thing was rearranging my thoughts again. I could feel those gangly appendages from the drain inside my head. Twisting dislike and annoyance and turning them into hatred for Walter. Cultivating it.
I can understand that, my friend. It looks like he got you good. Is that deep? And your arms? Did he have a weapon?
I'm fine, Walter.
I'm sorry. I was only checking that you were okay. Where'd they get off to?
Downstairs.
What?
The intruder? What happened to them?
Bring him downstairs.
No!
What? Arthur, what happened to the intruder? I didn't see anyone run off.
He can't be trusted. Give him to me.
I can't do that.
Arthur, you aren't making any sense. That head wound might be worse than you think. I'm going to call the police. We can wait for them outside.
No!
No!
What's the matter with you? I'm only trying to help.
Help?
Yes.
Help, Walter? Just go be a nuisance to someone else. You pry and insert yourself into all of our lives when you're unwanted.
Well... If that's how you feel, then I guess you can handle things from here. I'll go pry elsewhere.
You cannot leave.
That's right. Tuck your tail between your legs and run off. You're just a pathetic little weasel of a man. A cockroach that comes crawling into our homes.
Arthur!
Yes. Yes.
What? Arthur!
Walter lay crumpled in a heap at the foot of the basement stairs. One of his legs was bent the wrong way. The back of his wrist was against the floor, causing his elbow to point up.
Help me.
It was in the shadows, sitting on four of those horrible, long, spindly legs. It had the look of a large lion, only instead of being covered in fur, it was the same sickly white flesh that covered the appendages that had latched onto Bill. A thin, long tail brushed back and forth against the baseboards. Surrounding its face was a thick, bushy mane of black hair that was blended into the surrounding dark. Its large eyes reflected like an animal's in the black. Its mouth wore a Cheshire-like grin, showing off the large collection of teeth amassed behind its lips. It stalked toward Walter, head hunched down and body stretched out, ready to pounce if its prey tried to get away. Once it reached the light, the glow from its eyes faded and instead became a blind, milky white. Its skin was wrinkled and glistened as though covered in a film of some putrid substance. Oh, God.
No God here.
It nearly drove me mad to hear it. I heard it with my ears as well as inside my head. The monster grabbed Walter around the middle and lifted him into the air. I saw Walter's face full of the same terror as mine. Our eyes connected. He reached for me with his battered arm.
Oh, Arthur! Please! Please!
I closed my eyes and put my hands over my ears. My fingernails dug in and blood ran down my neck.
No! No, no, no! Stop, 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 stop! Stop! Stop, please!
When I opened my eyes, the lion-like thing was back over the drain in the middle of the basement. One of its claw-like hands set down the bloody clump that used to be Walter. It turned towards me, flashed that Cheshire grin, then faced the drain again. It placed its front two legs down into the hole and started to lower its face. Its bones contorted, broke and popped out of place as it slid itself back down into the drain. It shook back and forth and dislodged more bones and cartilage. Shoulder joints shot up and inward over its back. It never cried out in pain. As it reached its ribs, my mind couldn't take any more and mercifully shut down, taking me away from the grisly scene.
Arthur? Arthur, are you all right? Wake up! Artie, can you hear me?
Mary, wait! Where'd it go? Where did it go?
Where'd what go? What's going on?
That thing! The thing! Get up, go! Go back through the door! Now! Now, 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 go!
Arthur, you're scaring me. What's happening to the house?
Mary, you need to go upstairs and pack a bag, quick! We have to go!
Stop! You're hurting me!
You don't understand! We have to leave! We can't stay here!
What happened to our house, and why are you bleeding? What's going on?
She'll never understand, Arthur.
You shut up!
Arthur! Why can't you tell me what's going on?
You can't go where I can't reach you. We're connected.
I said shut the hell up!
Why are you yelling at me?
You should just bring her down to me, Arthur. I can make her understand.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Who are you talking to?
I told you, the thing! The thing in the basement! It's already killed Bill and Walter!
What are you talking about? What do you mean? Walter's been killed?
No, you've done it, Arthur. You have to bring her down. You won't be safe unless you do.
Shut the fuck up! I can save her!
Arthur, stop!
Mary, what are you doing? Put that down!
I told you, Arthur. It's too late. Bring her down to me.
No!
Who are you talking to?
Mary, please, give me the knife.
Stay away from me. Stay away from me!
Don't do this, Mary, please!
It's already done.
I tried to stop it, but it burst back into my mind, contorting it. I didn't mean to. I wrenched back control from the thing in my mind, and I was holding the knife. A cut ran down my wife's arm, her blood running down onto the floor.
Pick it up. Bring her to me.
Oh, Mary. I don't know what to do.
You're insane!
She's just going to be another problem like Walter and Bill. You know what needs to be done.
Bill. Bill.
Mary, come with me. Let me explain. I can fix this. It'll all be okay.
Let go of me!
Where is it?
Let me go! You're crazy!
There it is! There it is! Right where Bill dropped it. We have to be fast. The creature is still down here. Don't let it fool you.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. We need each other, Arthur.
Don't you see now, Mary? Do you understand? It needs some sort of tether. Me. It chose me. I can make it all right again. It slept down there for God knows how long until me. I'm sorry, Mary. You were right to blame me. I'll make it right again. It'll all be over now.
Oh, Arthur. Why do you have to go and do that? He was right, you know. I do need a tether. A thrall. The Arthur was nothing special. Just one like so many before him. And fate has brought me yet another to be bonded. Can you hear me yet? It only starts with a whisper. A tickle in your ears.
Well, loyal listeners, this terrifying tale unclogs so many deep questions about you all. How much can one sacrifice and live with the terrible decisions? How long before that final bill finally comes due? And...
What the hell? Damn it!
You were... What? Indisposed.
What are you... And just what do you think you're doing?
The story had ended and...
Yes. Well, I'm here now, so be gone. Flutter away or whatever.
I don't flutter.
Well, boys and ghouls, this terrifying tale unclogs so many deep questions about...
I already said that.
What?
The show must go on.
You don't tell me the show must go on. I tell you the show must go on. You don't tell me anything, you spectral son of a...
The Frightmare Theater Podcast is brought to you by Arcane, where nightmares become reality.
Oh, fine. Whatever. Al, if you need me, I'll be in my casket.
Tonight's radio theater presentation, entitled From the Drain, written and directed by Drew Dively, featured the voice talents of Nathan Sheldon, Nicole McLaughlin, George Cron, Drew Dively, Kirsten Overholt, Spencer Tilly, and Andrew McMurtry, with sound engineering by Nathan Sheldon. The Frightmare Theater theme and additional music is created by the terrifyingly talented Chris Porcelli and Allison Johnston and can be found along with other haunting scores at chrisporcellipiano.com. Be sure to stalk Frightmare Theater on social media and subscribe to the Frightmare Theater podcast via Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite listening app. Producing a monthly horror radio drama is a monstrous undertaking. If you enjoy diving into the drain of despair with us, we invite you to join the Frightmare Theater Undead family and support us on Patreon, where you will receive members-only special content not found anywhere else. All previous petrifying episodes of Frightmare Theater are proudly displayed for the shock and horror of the masses at FrightmareTheaterPodcast.com. We so deeply wish to thank you for listening and hope you join us in the shadows again next month for an all-new episode. Until then, I am the announcer, wishing you pleasant dreams.